Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, October 31st. It's Halloween. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
We didn't do a thing for ACM.
We didn't
do a Halloween special.
Which probably means that our interns are locked in a closet somewhere and we didn't know.
They could still be in the dungeon from last year. I'm not really sure how that worked out.
Yeah,
anyway.
Anyhow.
Just whatever.
Yeah. But hey, happy Halloween. And John Martellaro, how are you?
Present and accounted for, sir.
Yes, indeed. I feel the spirit of Brian Chaffin.
That hurts. It's indigestion.
Oh. I mix those up sometimes.
The ghost you can of Christmas why. Indigestion.
Yeah. Not yet. We haven't even reached Halloween. No time for Christmas indigestion yet.
Yeah. Good Lord. Fail.
Oh, man.
What are we doing? What show is this?
Hold on. Daily Observations. And we have a sponsor today. And that sponsor is Smart Backup 4, which is pretty awesome. We'll talk about them soon. But first, I think we need to jump back to
Back to the Future?
Why did I invite you on the show? We're going to go back to the Hello Again event and try and figure out why it's... was what it was.
Why it was the ghost of a dismal Christmas future.
What is it with you and Christmas today?
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know.
Anyhow, this is a discussion that started to come up in our morning meeting this morning, and people were questioning why it felt like there was filler in the event. And
well, My initial reaction to the filler comment is that the people who were doing the third party stuff were way too rehearsed. So like none of the third, I still maintain that none of the third party people were filler.
I agree.
Okay, I agree too.
The problem is that I think the event was originally scheduled for 2 hours. Does that ring a bell?
I remember you saying that in the meeting this morning. I don't remember anything about it being expected to be 2 hours.
Yeah, well, that came from John Keats, so, you know, who knows?
Oh, that's a good point.
Who knows the accuracy of it? Hello Again, event scheduled. Let's see if we can get something here.
I bet you're finding all kinds of exciting results.
No, not
they
really.
Don't normally announce a time duration.
Yeah. You know what? John's just getting me in trouble there. Nonetheless, it did definitely get me rethinking about the pacing of the event. And I had a thought that maybe Apple had been planning to show iPads and Macs at this event, and that it was iPads that would have gotten pulled. And that they got pulled because of the Surface Studio unveiling the day before by Microsoft.
Yeah, the Surface Studio.
Surface Studio, what'd I say?
You just said Surface. All I was doing was clarifying which Surface you meant.
Surface Studio. And Dave said, no, this is Dave Hamilton, said that it wouldn't have been, you know, Apple doesn't ever do iPads and Macs at the same event, which is essentially true. He said that he thinks the Macs were pulled, but again, because of the Surface Studio.
So that would mean most likely, if Dave is correct, that the new iMac was pulled.
Yeah, a new iMac.
Yeah, a new iMac was pulled. What do you think about maybe a Mac Pro?
I was thinking about the iPad Pro. You know, it came out in November of 15, and it doesn't have the same display features that its smaller sibling, the 9.7, has. And I was kind of expecting Apple to obliquely mentioned that the iPad Pro was going to be updated with the A10X processor.
Ring, 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 ring. Hold on, John. Hey, it's 4 minutes ago calling, wanting its observation back.
What? What?
Brian's being a butt.
Dave had already noted, and I had noted that Dave noted that Apple doesn't do iPads and Macs.
No. Events. I know, but I would think that in a Mac event, because there's no other opportunity prior to Christmas, that there would have been a brief mention that that iPad was being updated. If you're going to fill with something, fill it with that. But and the upshot is that we're going to have a 2015 iPad Pro lingering on without a Christmas refresh. So,
well, why not do a
problem, I think.
Do another November event?
November of 17. Let's just wait 2 years between refreshes of the iPad 12.9 inch. Let's just wait 2 years. Or do it in the spring.
Why not do it in November?
Both of you really feisty today.
November of 2016, which hasn't started yet.
Well, I think it's time for another iPad event in November.
Sure, why not?
Sure.
That'll be fun. I think they're still recovering
from. I mean, mind you, to your point, John.
I think
John
is still throwing some chairs around Infinite Loop from the last event.
to your point. Apple took what, 15, 16 months to refresh the 9.7 inch iPad Air that became the iPad Pro. So, to your point, maybe Apple doesn't intend to update the iPad Pro until sometime in the spring.
Considering the upgrade cycles that we seem to be seeing with iPads, refreshing them more often to me doesn't make sense.
Well, we don't have enough data for a pattern.
Yeah, but
an exception.
In the past, Apple would announce in September a new iPhone with some A-N processor, and then shortly afterwards, a new iPad would come out with the A-N and then X suffix included. But they're out of that cycle, so.
Yeah, so last year when the iPad Pro was announced, it wasn't announced at the iPhone event. Right? It was announced at its own separate event. Isn't that right?
Was it in October or November? I don't remember. I just don't think Apple's going to be doing another event before Christmas. I could be wrong. But anyway, back to the iMacs.
Mm-hmm.
So as I recall, the 27-inch iMac released in late 2015 has a Skylake, but its little brother, the 21-inch, has a Broadwell. So I was expecting to at least get an update of the 21-inch. But then there's the issue of whether it was going to have a touch bar in a separate keyboard. And maybe they were planning on announcing that later. And then they saw the Microsoft event and they said, oh, let's just slow down on this iMac event altogether. Does that sound about right?
Maybe.
Because you have a 27-inch 5K iMac, right, with Skylake?
Yes.
Yeah. So that one didn't need refreshing.
Yeah, it does. I bought it in December when it was 3 months, when it had been around for 3 months.
That was kind of early in the Skylake cycle. Now we're late in the Skylake cycle.
It's been like 13 or 14 months since I think.
What would you do with a 5K iMac? How would you refresh it?
Well, at the very least, put a new processor, right? New video
Which
card?
Realistically isn't going to happen until spring.
Kaby Lake, they have to wait.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, if Apple's going to Kaby Lake in the iMac, realistically, they can't do it till spring.
Well, then that's the case, then Apple didn't pull iMacs from the media event.
Well, they could have updated the 21.5 inch, as I said, bringing it up to speed on Skylake and Thunderbolt 3. I mean, after all, if they're going to make a big deal about Thunderbolt 3 with the MacBook Pros, why not bring the 21 inch into sync, and then you'll have the 21-inch, the 27-inch iMacs, and all the new MacBook Pros all on Thunderbolt 3.
I think if Apple did the 21-inch iMac as part of the presentation, that would have been a big red flag saying filler.
Yeah, I agree with that. I find it difficult to believe that Apple would make a "we're just doing the 21-inch iMac" part of any media event. That would be a press release.
Well, they can slip in little things, like they slipped in the TV app as a sort of, you know, 3-minute insert. There's nothing wrong with having an Apple event where you announce an upgrade to one of your a Mac event where you upgrade on it.
Yeah, but not for the
Macs.
Not when it's only part of the iMac line. All that does is call out the lack of update to the rest of the line.
All right, so just don't do anything because you're being a doofus and you're behind. Don't do anything at all so you avoid looking bad instead of trying to fix things and make them better.
But that would be the logic. But the problem is, if that is the logic, John, then those things weren't pulled out of the media event in the first place. So what would have been pulled out of it? If it's not iPads and it's not new iMacs, what would have been pulled out of the media event? Probably because of the Surface Pro, and made it look like there was filler. I mean, so let's approach this from the other end of the direction. Whether or not it seemed like there was filler, and there was certainly evidence of that. There was the fact that Tim Cook was consulting his slides quite a bit. Mm-hmm. He didn't feel as rehearsed and polished as he normally does, And of course, the biggest thing is that there was an app and a new hardware thing, the Touch Bar. And those are the only two things that were in this media event. And that is a very sparse media event by Apple standards. Extremely sparse.
Well, the question in my mind was Apple caused by Microsoft and also some Hewlett-Packard initiatives I've talked about? Was Apple sort of stung into realizing that it was a mistake to abandon the technical and creative professionals? And maybe they had a Mac Pro, a dazzling new Mac Pro ready to go, but not quite. And they realized it wasn't
LOL.
What they wanted to talk about? Or maybe.
LOL. New Mac Pro, LOL. Yeah. By the way, the John, the iPad Pro, the original 12.9-inch iPad Pro was shown at the September event, but just didn't ship until later.
Okay.
Yeah. So they did combine that with the iPhone.
So they had an iOS event.
Yeah.
Okay. So still, we're left wondering, if Apple pulled something from the Hello Again event, and it kind of feels like they did, what did they pull?
What would it have been? Yeah.
Well, let's rethink it. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they saw the Microsoft rollout of the Surface Studio, and maybe they said, what do we got? And as the old saying goes, we ain't got nothing. And so they strained and worked and tried to figure out what they were going to do and packed it as full as they could and figured out that with the third-party demos and a Johnny Ive video and some more fanfare about the Touch Bar, they could string it out to make it seem like a cool event. But they didn't have anything maybe to begin with. Maybe they thought the Touch Bar was going to be the thing.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that.
What if the studio had never been announced? How would we react to the Touch Bar?
Right. First, it would certainly be uncharacteristic of Apple to change its plans because of something another company, especially Microsoft of all companies.
Yes.
And by the way, John Keat, speaking of John Keat, wrote a great rant about Apple losing the plot, he believes. Included in that on page 2. Are some comments about where he spent time with the Surface Studio at a local Microsoft shop in New York, and he says the hardware, the Microsoft nailed the hardware, is just fantastic, but software is basically a pile of crap. So keep that in mind.
He said there were some less than excellent irritations.
And he told me that it's a pile of crap.
Mm.
So maybe I'm confusing what he told me privately for what's in the piece. But
I'll make sure there's a link to the piece in the show notes.
Excellent. Anyway, the point is that it would be no, that's not the point. It would be weird for Apple to change any of its plans for Microsoft. That would be just weird. But the question I want to ask you guys is, was the Touch Bar worthy of a new Apple has a $5,000 machine with a Pro name on it with 16 gigs of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know why it's only 16.
And I didn't buy it. I wrote in Friday's Particle Debris that I didn't buy the explanation.
You know what? If that is the explanation, it shows that Apple's doing it wrong.
It's nonsense because everybody else is doing 32 gig. It was a
form factor thing, right?
It was an argument that was out of context. You go to the Antarctic, you're on an airplane for a 10-hour flight, you don't have any power. Oh my God, we can only put 16 gig of RAM in there because we have to stretch it out to 10 or 11 hours. Who doesn't have access to power somewhere to top it off? First of all, it's your Pro desktop, right? So on your desktop, you've got access to AC power. So who cares? Let's get, you know,
desktop. We're talking about your
desktop. Your MacBook Pro is your Pro device now on your desktop next to your giant Samsung monitors. So you plug it into AC power. Now you pack up and you go somewhere. Maybe you're not doing
John,
the
you're,
same
you're approaching kind of this. You're approaching work. This backwards.
You're on an airplane. You're in an airport. You're at somebody's other office. You've got access to power there, too. It doesn't make sense to me.
You're approaching this backwards.
Okay.
Right? Apple can't put out a new laptop that has less battery life than a previous one. That would be a case for bad ink. That's like Apple's slipping. Mm-hmm. So Apple has to have either the same or more battery life at this point.
That's chasing your tail and screwing the customer.
No, yes it is, but it's worse than that because if let's say that argument is true, let's say that Apple didn't put more than 16 gigs of RAM in this Pro machine, which is just freaking ridiculous. Let's say that, right? Then the issue is that it's too freaking thin to do what it needs to do. That you have allowed form to triumph over function, and that is ridiculous.
Yeah, Chartier said, "Stop it."
Yeah, Chartier said, "Like enough with the thinness. We want performance. We want ports. We want power.
Well, that's what
we want battery life.
That's what the Packers are going after. They're going after the performance aspect of it, and people like performance." And we've reached the point now where Apple's obsession is harming their attractiveness to technical and creative professionals.
It's harming their utility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Harming the utility value of their devices.
Oh, yeah.
It was
a generally disastrous event. According to everything I've read, I haven't seen anybody stand up for Apple and say, oh, no, you're all wrong. Microsoft failed. Apple's got the true vision here. No, I haven't seen any articles that have taken that approach.
But
and I've read a lot of articles.
What people have said, though, is that the Touch Bar is, in fact, a triumph and that it's fantastic.
It is cool. But did it merit an entire 90-minute event or the bulk of it? I mean, should it just been one of those things where, look, we've added this to the MacBook Pros?
No, it needed more emphasis than it is such a paradigm shift.
I think they needed
to present it differently.
And Shara Tipkin did an interview with Schiller and Schiller talked about how this is the beginning of a new quote architecture, and they don't even know where it's going to go yet. And I'm going to be talking about that later, but. There was a vacuum created. Apple said hello again. You wrote about how that created expectations. I think it created expectations for everybody. Sins had been committed, and Apple was going to come out and ask for our blessing and be back to norm and fulfill our expectations and our needs. And as John Keats said, they failed miserably. They didn't produce. And the Touch Bar, while great, isn't enough to satisfy all of the Apple users. it was just part of a total picture. And that's why we were thinking that something had to have been left out, because it seemed like there was undue emphasis on it, and it should have been done in concert with other things, like commenting about Mac Pro, Mac Mini, iMacs, and other outward sign visible, you know, representations of Apple's commitment to, because of the comment Tim Cook made to the Mac Rumors reader, who's, when he said, well, I love the Mac, stay tuned. That stay tuned thing is a Tim, is a Steve Jobs typical phrase. Stay tuned means we've got something great coming. And just new MacBook Pros, you know, no MacBook Air out of the manila envelope moment, no outward commitment to the Mac Pro, to the Macintosh line, just an update to Final Cut to 10.3. It just seemed flat and empty and unimaginative. And boy, they're taking a lot of heat.
Well, we're pretty much out of time. So I think what we can safely say is that after all this time discussing today, we have firmly established we can't figure out what it is that Apple pulled from the event, but it sure feels like they pulled something.
Yeah, because it felt empty.
Did we pull the sponsor out of the show?
No, we just haven't made it quite that far yet.
Excellent.
That's where we're getting right now. So our sponsor today is Smart Backup 4 from SoulSignal. And Smart Backup 4 is a really cool backup application for your Mac that takes advantage of the modern technologies that we have today, which means that when you need to move your files or copy your files from your Mac over to your backup drives, Smart Backup 4 can do that more efficiently. So instead of having a file move over, file move over, file move over, and the tedium that our computers are used to dealing with as they back up, Smart Backup 4 says, I'm going to take these files and move them all at once, and I'm going to take these files and move them all at once. It can move multiple files simultaneously, so you get faster, more efficient backups happening, and the application is like really versatile. So if you need to be archiving files, no problem. If you need to be doing just a straight backup and get the files out of the way, no problem. If you need to be jumping back in time to restore files, it can do that too. And yes, it can even create a bootable clone of your hard drive, and it can do it faster than other utilities. So it's like everything you need in one backup application at a really good price. And that price is $34.99. But for this week, SoulSignal is doing a special deal, $24.99 for the application. There's a special link that you'll need to use to get that discount, and I'm going to put that in the show notes, because it's a link that if I say it on the air, I believe it actually calls Beetlejuice from the other side. So it'll be in the show notes, so you can click it and hop right to the link for your $10 discount. But if you want to just try it out without buying first, then what you do is go to soulsignal.com, and that's soulsignal.com/smartbackup. And there's a demo version you can download and test out and make sure it does everything you need. And if it does, great. Make sure before the end of this week, you head over to the link that's in the show notes and pick up your copy for $24.99 instead of $34.99. And that's a sweet deal, and it's a really great app. And thank you, SoulSignal and Smart Backup 4, for being our sponsor today.
For sure.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so with that, we really are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having us. It was a fun discussion.
It really was a lot of fun. John, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. And like I said, head over to soulsignal.com/smartbackup and test out Smart Backup 4. Take advantage of that $10 discount, because, wow, that's a really nice discount. And thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.